It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
That's what we always do.
Exactly. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Magical Talking Hat podcast, the only podcast in the world that's smaller on the inside. I'm Tony.
And I'm William. And this is episode 187.
187. That's a lot of episodes.
It is.
Wait, so we are very soon. When did you say 200 was hitting? Didn't you say it was February or something?
I don't remember what I said.
It seems
late January, like, early February, something like that. Yeah, that's right.
It's creeping up here. For those of you just joining us for the first time, welcome to episode 187. So think about that while you chew your toast.
And every single one of those 187 episodes has been delivered on time, fresh, sometimes not so fresh, on Thursday.
A more important point is I honestly believe anybody who's listening to this as their first episode is chewing toast while they do it. Anyway, for those of you just joining us, we have a hat. It's magical in that it has its own email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. The people in the world who are predestined for heaven, and there's only certain ones, the rest of you are going to hell, like to email the hat. And yes, the converse is true. If you email the hat, you're guaranteed to go to heaven. With comments. You're looking really terrified at that.
Well, because I'm thinking that
people are going to sue us post.
No, I'm thinking that the people who have no inclination to write the hat, well, then they know what their situation is.
Yeah.
So sorry for you people who are listening, but are just stubbornly resistant to writing the hat. See, sorry.
This was a bad campaign to go down there. Because on one hand, we're trying to argue for predestination. But on the other hand, the point is we're trying to convince people who would not otherwise that they can change their fate, essentially.
Oh.
The only demo we hit are the people who are so dumb that up to this point, they have not wanted to write, but they have not articulated it. And hearing this, they immediately convince themselves, oh yeah, I always meant to write. And I feel like that's a very small demographic that mostly is Mark, and Mark's already written. So,
but don't you think the people who now realize that their previous disinclination means they're going to hell might suddenly decide they weren't really disinclined. They just hadn't got around to it, so now they'll do it.
Depends on how shallow they are.
Because who wants to think they're going to hell?
How shallow are you guys? Anyway, people... right into the hat, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com, with little emails. Little comments and questions and topics. And
brief.
Things.
Not
and
long.
And the hat, via the aforementioned magic or magicalness, transmogrifies those emails into little note cards with the information written on them that manifest physically within the hat itself. Like when you turn it upside down, there's a hole, you know, in the, like, yeah. Not within the fabric, you know, like in where the head goes.
Yeah, where the head goes.
Yes. Should have started with that.
Yeah.
And we, it's semi-loyal servants, draw those little note cards out randomly, read them on the air, talk about them till we're bored, and do that for about an hour, and that's the show.
Now, before you start thinking, well, this sounds like the devil's work, so how could riding the hat mean you're going to go to heaven? I don't have an answer. I guess I don't have an answer to that.
I feel like you may have just...
I don't have an answer. Shoot, why did I even bring that
my
up?
My faith in the entire podcast has just collapsed. I think this will be our last episode. because, yeah, this can't be good.
Just forget everything I just said. You know, and people do anyway. People always forget what I say, so.
No, they don't.
Maybe we'll be okay.
No, they talk about it on the blog a lot afterwards. Clearly, they paid attention. TheMagicalTalkingHat.com. Did you go there after this and talk about how boring this opening part was? Anyway, it has been 2 weeks for us here in this universe. Because I was not well last week.
How are you feeling now?
I am feeling better.
Good.
It was what we colloquially refer to as tummy troubles. Mm. And it was bad because I had to take 2 days off work and I really did not have the time off to do that.
Mm.
So things are getting complicated with visiting my father for his 80th in Oregon. But it's all going to work. I did the math and everything. I'll just have to put in some extra hours around then, but it'll be fine.
Okay, good.
My boss is very understanding about such things.
That's good.
So how was your 2 weeks? And before you do your usual self-deprecating stuff, I should tell you, I was talking this through with the producer today, and I don't have a lot to say about my 2 weeks, so be prepared for that.
Probably the most exciting and interesting thing that happened in my 2 weeks happened just today.
Ooh.
And I'm still really...
It's not the 67 miles per gallon thing, is it? Because really, if that's the most exciting thing in 2 weeks...
No.
All right,
I'm still really excited about it for some reason. It probably won't mean anything to anybody else, but I think it's pretty cool. So today...
You made Eagle Scout.
No. Today, in my email, I got an alert that someone made a comment on the YouTube video for Will versus Chocolate.
Oh.
And I thought, well, that's fun.
No, I totally get that. Who was it? What did they say?
It was Endangered Species Chocolate.
No.
Yes. Which, for those of you who haven't watched the video,
chocolate.
I'm ashamed of you for not watching it, but that's the brand of chocolate we use in the film.
No.
And the company, or some representative of the company, commented.
Somebody
on the video.
Hijacking the official YouTube account
the real,
of Endangered
Species
Chocolate.
No, the real company, because we know that, because what motivated them to do this was the other adult in the house noticed there was a contest hosted by the company on Facebook for people to talk about what their favorite chocolate is. And she answered in Facebook or whatever that, well, our favorite is Endangered Species Dark Chocolate, 88% cocoa, and we loved it so much we made this film about it. So they watched it. And they seemed to like it. Comment on the video even links to the 9-minute mark right when the character Will is stuffing his face with chocolate. And so that was very cool.
And what did the comment say?
Well, let's see.
Cease and desist. You do not have copyright authority.
No, nope. They thanked. That would have been hilarious. They thanked us for using their chocolate bar in there, and I think they said something like, "Who knew that flavor had such acting prowess?" or something. I don't remember what it was. They made a similar comment, but slightly different, in Facebook, directly to what she posted, and then so I wrote something back to them in the post too. But it was. It was a very odd moment when I first, it was just fun that there was a comment there. It's like, and I thought maybe one of our listeners had finally watched it and had something to say about it. You know, maybe Sir Guido or Azure Talon or something had watched it. Or maybe Sue wanted to make a comment about it or something. So, but, when I got there and it said, Endangered Species Chocolate, like the company.
Yeah.
I didn't even read the comment right away. I was just sort of dumbfounded that they would post something. And I, of course, at first I was a little worried that they were going to be unhappy. Be happy with it.
But no, it definitely paints the chocolate in a positive light.
Oh, yeah.
But what's so hilarious is I just want to tell them, I know you have this thing where you're asking all that, but this was made years ago.
Oh, yeah.
Facebook wasn't really a thing back then.
In
fact, may literally not have existed.
And something they might not realize is that the script for Will versus Chocolate is
based on an ancient Celtic
folktale. Is based on sort of a little conversation
that goes on in your head
that went on in my head with chocolate, yes. Like that I just sort of made up while I was talking to somebody else. So it in a lot of ways accurately reflects my struggles with eating chocolate. Not entirely, of course. It's embellished quite a bit, but there is some. It is somewhat autobiographical, you know. So it really does express my passion for their product.
Yes.
But I don't. I mean, that wasn't evident in the video, I don't suppose.
Well, you
but
know what this means? Next, we got to get to work on the film version of "Your phone is ringing. Pick up your phone."
So that was really exciting.
And then all sorts of cell phone companies can
yeah.
get excited about that one.
So I was really excited about that. I mean, it's an, I'm sure for most people it sounds like, who cares? But for me, it was pretty cool.
No, yeah. That is very cool. And I would be super psyched about that. It's not me, so I don't care. But if it was me, I'd be very excited.
And it'll be neat if what...
The film I wasn't involved in.
Well, if it didn't have any product placement, so...
I know, the film I know, I'm like... Nobody's ever going to do that with Inquire Within, because, like, unless Percocet or Diet Coke start really pushing their...
Or Billy Bass media. Starts getting really popular again.
Oh, Billy Bass.
He's in there for just a second.
He is. Oh,
but let's see what else.
Consume any media?
Yeah. You know, of course, there were... premieres of a lot of things. Did you not watch them?
No, I did.
Okay, let's talk about them later, because there's one thing I want to talk about, and I hope I'm brief about it, but there was something
a lot of stuff to talk about.
There was something I was thinking about over the past 2 weeks that I want to talk about, because it's come up in the podcast a couple times. Mm-hmm. Because you remember some time ago, we were talking about, you know, superpowers that we'd have or whatever.
We were.
And I said
something. Mark asked us that.
And I said something about mind control or whatever. And
everybody figured out you were fucking evil.
Well, Mark was particularly surprised by it. Now, you know, we joke around.
I believe you recanted.
No, of course I did, because it was like the whole hillbilly magic thing. It was just
Well, no, I interpret it as you then
kind of
I thought you genuinely thought it could be a helpful thing, and then upon further conversation you realized it had basically
no I wasn't entirely serious about it to begin with. But anyway, it's, you know, and that's, it's just what happens when we're talking and whatever. It didn't really mean anything, but the fact of the matter is, it has kind of bothered me this whole time, because I think where Mark's coming from, because he's known me for quite a while, is I think he would say, and Mark, please correct me if I'm wrong, whenever you finally listen to this.
He has been behind for a while. For being hard hat number one, it's a little bit of a mess.
Surprised that I would even ingest or even flirt with the idea. You know, and again, the podcast, we do this kind of thing all the time, so it's really not that big a deal. But I have to admit, it kind of bothered me too, and I was thinking, yeah, that is kind of beyond where I would go. Even
it was outside of your usual scope.
Yeah.
Although I like to feel, honestly, that your scope has broadened since we have done this.
No, I agree.
I feel like we both have learned how to do things for entertainment purposes only a bit more.
That's right. But again, you know,
it was unusual.
Yes, exactly. So it's kind of bothered me ever since. Sometimes I think about it, it comes up in my head, and I'm thinking, yeah, why did I? That doesn't really make sense that I'd say that, because the fact of the matter is, as Mark would attest, and I'm sure you would too, I'm really not the kind of person that that wants or, you know, has any desire to, like, control other people or you know, spy on other people or know about
Forget
other people's
me and
business.
Mark, everybody who listens to this podcast knows you're not.
Okay, well, exactly. So where'd that come from? And I think I finally figured it out, and it actually kind of really bothers me.
You were super high.
No.
Wait a minute.
During that time,
mm-hmm.
In fact, I know this is what it was, and so it really bothers me. During that time, there were some things going on at home with the kids that were particularly distressing.
And quite chaotic.
Yes, but to the point where I was actually concerned for, especially one of them, their safety. Mm. I was concerned that something bad was going to happen to them. And this was not... This was not just me being overprotective or over anything, because I had solid reason to believe. I mean, actually, this person had been you know, threatened with violence by some people, and the people he was hanging out with.
I know a lot of the circumstances surrounding this stuff with the kids, and I will vouch for William that there was serious shit to
yeah,
be worried about.
Yeah, yeah. So I was, and I think at the time, and, well, I know at the time, part of my intense desire to protect this person so these bad things didn't happen was to know things that were going on that he wasn't going to tell me about.
Yeah.
And there was an incredible struggle here because, you know, I was faced with really difficult choices like, well, do I go through his room and his stuff while he's at school? Which is
very antithetical.
Yeah, no way do I want to do that.
But out of concern for their safety, you might feel like you had to.
Exactly. Yeah. And as a matter of fact, when a certain... I don't know how to say this without giving away too much information. Just suffice it to say, a certain low-level government agency that keeps track of these things alerted us to certain dangers that he might be involved with. And at that point, we did make the decision to go ahead and search his
stuff. That seems legit, yeah.
Stuff. Well, yes, it does. And I defend that decision as a responsible parent thing to do, but I still hated it. It still made me feel really awful and gross. Do you know what I'm trying to say?
Absolutely.
So
you should take comfort in the fact that I believe what you are describing is a common parenting crisis, or in your case, because of the extremity that, again, I know was involved here, a common parenting nightmare. Like, on a lower level, this is stuff that a lot of parents have to go through all the time with their kids. Now, in their cases, it's often more theoretical worries about their safety, but the principle still exists. I think this is very common for parents, especially parents who really care about their kids.
Well, and so what was happening at that time was I was spending a lot of time wishing I knew things that I didn't have any way of knowing.
And so there was an unconscious transference, and you're like, you know what would be awesome?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
no, that makes sense. That totally makes sense.
Well, I don't like it because...
Well, I think most parents aren't asked if you could have any superpower, what would you pick? Otherwise, I think it would come up a lot.
Well, here's the thing. I like to think that if someone actually came to me and said, well, here you go. You can now read this kid's mind so you can, you know, protect them or whatever. I like to think I'd still say, no, that's not how I want to go about this.
There's a big common one that's showing up on all sorts of action shows and stuff lately. The whole, when somebody tells you something, you can tell if they're lying. That one's being played to hell. Yeah. You could have that one. That one would be good.
Well, I already kind of knew that already because this kid wasn't a very good liar. But the point is, it what bothers me about that, and now that I think I know that's kind of the thing that was going on that made me even just out of sort of a jest... suggest something like that, is that, I don't know, you just don't like to get that close to your limits. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, everyone's got their limits. A line where if you cross it, you're liable to do things that you otherwise couldn't imagine that you'd be able to do.
Yeah.
And most people who live in the United States are never in a desperate enough situation that they even see the edge of those limits. You know what I'm saying? But when you are in a desperate situation and that limit is right in front of you, it's scary because it doesn't matter how desperate the situation had to get you there. It always seems to you like not quite desperate enough. Like,
oh, of course.
Like there's,
well, because you want to believe that. You want to believe things haven't gone to that shitty.
Well, not just that, but you want to think that you would have to really be a desperate situation to get that close to your limit. Now, again, to me, this was a life or death thing. So I suppose, how could you get pushed any further than that? And I mean, I was quite literally concerned for this kid's life.
Yeah.
I really did think that this kid might not reach, you know, his 18th birthday or whatever. I mean,
might be overselling it. We believe you.
I can't possibly oversell it.
No, what I'm saying is you might just be repeating yourself.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
I get uncomfortable when you start talking.
No, but...
I'm worried that you're going to listen to this later and feel like you gave too much detail.
No, I know what you mean, so but
I think you've expressed the gravity.
I'm kind of back in that space right now as I'm talking about it, and it's really making me feel...
all the more reason for me to intervene a little bit.
It's making me feel very anxious.
Because we are on the air.
I know. I'm sorry.
But no, I think that's very understandable, and I think that's a very understandable reaction. And honestly, I know it bothers you because of that, but... making up a superpower about it on a podcast is a really healthy way to process.
No, I suppose that's true.
There are so many worse ways. And so many ways that you can just say, let it change you. Just be like, okay, now I'm a kind of person who's like that now. Because that's the thing. If you have to get to those limits, or even in some cases cross what you think are those limits, it's so easy to just be like, okay, now... you just then change your limits instead of saying, okay, I had to do that, but now I'm going back to what my limits were because the situation does not call for it anymore.
Yeah.
And I think, again, playing it out in weird podcast superhero fantasies is, while disconcerting on a whole different social level,
right.
is way more healthy than what a lot of people choose in that kind of stuff.
Well, it's just another thing is it just reminds me how dark that place was that I was at without, I couldn't really think very much about it consciously. I had to act, you know, I had to do things. I couldn't sit there and think, wow, this is really dark. You know, I just had to handle the situation as best I could. And, you know, I have no idea if I did a decent job of it or not, but,
I don't think anybody will ever know. I think you did the best you can, which is all that can be said.
But that I realized that's what that came from,
and for the record, really all the children are still alive. So
no, yes, they are.
So that's a win.
Although for this particular person, it was touch and go several times.
But everybody's alive now, so we definitely count that as a win.
But I bring it up because it came up on the podcast, and Mark expressed such dismay at it. And the truth is, after he expressed dismay at it, I realized, yeah, that is a little weird. What was that? And I'd forget about it, and I'd remember it again. And somehow, these last couple weeks, I was taking a walk, and it just popped into my head, and I realized, oh my gosh, that's what it was. Because we even went through some therapy with the kids, and some of these same things came up of me feeling helpless and feeling like one time we were asked to, like, draw a picture of how we feel, and I just sort of, without even thinking about it, spontaneously drew this picture of me and, like, behind in a cage.
Yeah.
And all this stuff was happening to the kids outside, and I was, like, completely helpless.
And
I couldn't do anything.
And you talked about that at length at the time.
To help help them. It was like I was so... But anyway, it's just frightening when you go through a situation that puts you right up against a limit, you know, and you start to actually be able to see yourself doing something that you previously just didn't think of yourself as doing. You know what? What also made me think of, you said that if you ever decided you had to kill someone, you would resolve to yourself that right after you've done it, you'd kill yourself.
That's
because
been my plan.
That would be like, that would be the...
That's the only way it seems fair to me.
Yeah, that's exactly. I thought the same thing when I thought, if someone told me you have to accept this gift of being able to read people's minds and control them or whatever in order to save your child's life, If I accepted that, I would do the thing that would save them, and then that's what I would probably do, is take my life, because to me that's the cost.
Yeah.
You can't just go on living in the world with that power
and
becoming the person you would become. Do you know what I mean?
I still feel like you would just go up on a mountain and live by yourself somewhere. That seems more your stuff.
That,
when there were no thoughts to read.
That's another possibility.
But then you'd feel that you were being too intrusive on the deer, so I don't know how that would work.
That's another possibility. But, yeah, that's something that happened the last couple of weeks, which I don't know if that interests anybody, but there it is. But...
So, way to go, Mark.
Flash premiere. Did you watch Flash?
I didn't watch Flash. I had no intention of watching Flash.
Oh, really?
All right, if we're going to hit these... Okay, I want to stop for a second first. Because that's going to be a thing. I saw one movie.
Oh.
But I don't have a lot to say about it. It is called Life of Crime. It has Jennifer Aniston in it. It has whatever the hell Mos Def is calling himself now. He's got a different name and I can't ever remember. Mos Def. It has Will Forte in a relatively dramatic role. It has Tim Robbins. And it is a movie set in the 70s in Detroit. And it is sort of a kidnapping heist kind of movie. Don't see it.
Okay.
you can see it, and I don't mean you specifically, anybody can see it, there's no point. I don't know why exactly, but the movie's just sterile. It's just not interesting, and I don't understand the point of it, and no.
We saw Grand Budapest Hotel.
Oh, and?
Voldemort was good in it.
All right, then.
Otherwise, I wasn't that.
Really? That's too bad.
Impressed. Well, I mean, it wasn't horrible, but it's Wes Anderson. It's like the same thing you see Wes Anderson all the
time. See, I'm slowly growing. Wes Anderson's growing on me lately, but I do worry about that, because at a certain point, he's wacky in the same way all the time, and it just becomes something.
Which is interesting. I mean, you're like, oh, that's quirky, and but it's not like...
But it becomes the norm. And
you don't feel like watching it over and over and over again, but I said Voldemort did good in it. What's his name?
Joseph Fiennes, Ralph Fiennes.
Yeah, he was good in it. I thought he was fun, but I mean, otherwise, it's just it's okay. And I thought Bill Murray was going to be in it a lot more than he was, so I was a little disappointed actually.
Okay, so TV.
Okay.
Here's the thing: we have now watched all the new stuff, and I'm only talking about new stuff for the time being.
Okay.
Because people are like, "Oh, so you stopped watching the premiere?" And like, no, the old stuff. I'm not even talking about that. This is purely stuff that just started.
Okay.
We have now watched everything that I believe I will be watching, or that I will even attempt to watch, that is new, except we haven't watched Mulaney yet. We've got, I believe, an episode, and we're soon to have two episodes on the DVR, but we haven't had a chance to watch it yet, the sitcom on Fox, and we haven't watched Constantine yet because it hasn't come out.
No. That's later this month.
I believe the sum total of the new TV shows... Selfie, Scorpion, Gotham, Forever. These are what I've watched.
Okay.
I have watched exactly one episode of each.
Mm-hmm.
I have officially disavowed all of them.
Wow.
After the pilot, which is not something I tend to do, because I know pilots are goofy.
Well,
but I am out all of them. And the producer is in on all of them still, except she decided today she's out of Selfie.
The pilot of Gotham was just what you were afraid it was going to be. The whole baby this person, baby that person, which was really disappointing. I'm sticking with it.
So is the producer at this point.
I thought the second episode was a little better. Third episode, a little more better, except, again, the weakest character in the whole thing, to me, even the weakest actor, is Jim Gordon, and he's supposed to be the main guy, so it's kind of rough. But, you know.
I love Donald Logue. I'm still not sure I like his version of Bullock, because I have feelings about Bullock.
No, I agree, and but somehow I think maybe they'll come around and make that character more interesting.
And here's what I did with Gotham. Gotham wasn't that bad, but as I'm watching it, I realize something. You know how I don't particularly like Batman?
Although, you know.
I'm not sure I like the whole setting, really. Because what I did is I was watching it, and I'm like, this is not terrible. So, let's say this show goes the best it possibly could. Where is it going to end up? And I sort of tried to picture where it would be going, and I'm like, I don't really care about watching that.
Yeah.
So I'm like, best case scenario, it's a show that I'll go about. And I'm like, then I shouldn't be watching it. So I'm not. And I don't think it's necessarily bad, and I won't be shocked if it goes for a while or whatever, but I'm just not there. Selfie was just as terrible as I was afraid it would be. Selfie was, it was like the Super Fun Night thing all over again. Love Karen Gillan, love John Cho. The show was not funny and was offensive and was dumb. And of course it's a remake of My Fair Lady, which... While I appreciate the musical of My Fair Lady because I was in it and I know all the songs and the producer likes it and all that stuff, inherently the story is really shitty and terrible and sexist.
Oh, yeah.
And just awful.
No question.
And so when you put it in a modern setting, it really stands out at how terrible it is. So just immediately, I mean, honestly, I said I gave up after the pilot. I pretty much gave up, I think, 10 minutes in. Forever is fine. But I'm already watching Elementary. I don't need Forever if I've got Elementary. although, the fact that Judd Hirsch was there and the role he's playing is very intriguing to me. But no, I'm not giving up Elementary, and watching both of those shows seems really just a waste of time. And Scorpion, it was intriguing. I'm still not comfortable. I mean, it wasn't interesting enough, and the initial ways they're addressing people with cognitive issues, I found overly simplistic and borderline offensive. Now, part of that is I deal a lot more with this stuff now and the things I do in the job, in my job. Mm. Not with the people, but with the concepts and so forth, because part of what I do is very closely tied into accessibility and assessments, mm-hmm. and how you do things for people with different accessibility issues,
right.
including cognitive ones.
Right.
And, yeah, it just felt very sanitized for TV, and the way they dealt with things was just, it felt silly to me. And a little bit offensive. And then on top of that, it was a very mediocre action show to me. So I'm just out on all of them.
Well, you know, I have to admit, being a fan of Batman is probably the main reason I'm sticking with it, just because it's a Batman thing.
And a lot of people are.
But there are things I like about it. There are things that intrigue me about it that I kind of hope to see develop into something better. Also, I did watch the Flash pilot. I thought it was great. I thought it was really, really good. I think the guy who's playing the main character, playing Barry Allen, does a great job. And it's just really good. We also saw
Don't care about the Flash. It's amazing how much I don't care about the Flash.
We also watched the
superhero
premiere of Arrow, which was okay. But I mean, you know, it's just Arrow. Yeah. You know?
And I've been watching the first couple episodes of Sleepy Hollow. I'm a little disappointed right now. I'm a little nervous. They played a lot of their cards at the end of the last season to really sort of show the full picture of things and we're dealing with the big epic storyline and all that. And so far, each episode is still really dealing with that. I'm like, we need to get down to sort of a Monster of the Week thing. We can't just constantly be doing this. And so we'll see. If it can get a little more episodic again, I'll be a little more comfortable.
We're on Netflix, we're watching American Horror Story Coven.
Okay. I got to admit, Freak Show almost, I was curious. I almost went for it.
We probably will watch that.
Have you watched either of the other two?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I did not know that.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I, long in the beginning, we watched the first couple episodes of the first season. When it was actually on TV,
mm-hmm.
and I found it really cheesy, and I was like, and they're just throwing shit out here, and there's no way they're gonna resolve this shit, whatever. And so then time goes on, and it's in its second season or whatever, and I decided to go to Wikipedia like I do to look it up, and damned if they didn't actually all tie it together in a really kind of intriguing narrative.
Yep, they sure did.
Still had a crying Dylan McDermott masturbating by himself, so I'm still kind of okay I didn't watch it, but,
Well...
And Connie Britton impregnated by a ghost in a gimp suit, and... Yeah, so I still feel kind of okay I didn't watch it, but I'm like, my respect for the show concept in general went up then.
Well, every season has had things about it that are like, no, that's ridiculous and stupid. Yeah. But they've also had those kind of brilliant turns, and so it's kind of a coin toss as to whether or not it's worth it to you.
I will say this. Asylum, the second series, apparently sort of didn't resolve a lot of stuff intentionally, but in a way that I feel like I would have been very unsatisfied with that. And I will warn you, Coven showed up often on The Soup.
Well, the thing about okay, so the first season, again, a lot of problems with it. I'm not going to say there isn't. But there was a lot of, like I say, brilliant turns in it that made it kind of fascinating and interesting. The second season, Asylum, not quite as good. And this season, again, not quite as good.
Yeah.
A lot of silly stuff in it that doesn't make any sense.
Really silly stuff in this.
And especially if you know anything about... New Orleans or Louisiana voodoo and things like that. It's almost, you know, offensive actually in how they're taking something that's a real thing that people practice. And you also know what Hollywood's done to it in the past. And they're kind of, they're, kind of doing those same things in this modern show, they could still keep the kind of creepy, scary edge without maybe doing that. Or maybe they couldn't. I don't know. Maybe there's no way they could do it without...
I think it's possible somebody could. I don't think anybody will.
Well,
that's too much of a Hollywood staple now.
And so, yeah, it's got quite a few problems. But Jessica Lange, I mean, she's so good. I mean, that's probably the thing that keeps us coming back to watch, because it doesn't matter
if the show, still around for Freak Show.
If the show gets creepy or not creepy in a good way. I mean, like...
Sleazy.
Yeah, not like it's not good.
Yeah.
She's good. And, yeah. I mean, she's just amazing.
Jessica fucking Lange.
She's so amazing. And in this one, Bates...
Kathy Bates.
Kathy Bates is in it. She's good. She's amazing in it. And actually, there are other people, too, that are less well-known, but they're very good, and they've been in multiple, you know, seasons.
And later, there are going to be other people that are more well-known that I'm not going to tell you about.
Yeah, well, don't.
It's a spoiler. But some of it's hilarious.
But it's hard not to enjoy it when she's in it. Just every scene, just
I can get that.
So amazing.
That's how I kept on for almost the whole season of Blacklist. Not because of Jessica Lange, but James Spader. That was the only good thing about it, and he was amazing. And eventually, just the weight of all the other crappy just killed it.
Well, another,
and it sounds like this one's not that bad.
Another great thing about this season is a young actor who was in the first season, a young woman with Down syndrome. She was in the first season and not in it very much. She's in this season, and she's in it a lot.
Okay.
And it's really cool. I mean, it shouldn't be a big deal, but it is, because you just don't see that very
often. They recycle a lot of their cast, and I think that's going to help them in the long term. They're going to get good at this.
Well, I forget the guy's name that's been in every single one, and I mean, everyone's going to know who it is if I could remember his name, but he's always good, too. He's always very good.
And there's various, I mean, there's ones that didn't show up until the third series that I know are in the fourth series and stuff like that. They just tend to grab people and keep them for a while.
The thing is, I don't, it's frustrating because there's so much good stuff in it.
Well, and I love the idea conceptually.
Oh, yeah,
I
love
the idea of a totally different story each
season. Me too. I don't know why there has to be anything silly or things that don't make sense in it. Why?
You're making primetime television horror. That's a tricky tightrope to walk on.
Well, it does seem like most of the time they do something that seems ridiculous. It's the kind of thing another show would do to, like, get that lowest common denominator to watch the show.
Yeah, yeah.
And, I mean, I'm sure that's not a coincidence.
Well, and it's fucking FX, I guarantee you. FX are the kings, well, other than things like Spike TV or whatever. FX is the place that you go for the lowest common denominator. When they do stuff that's really good, it's sort of accidental. I mean, and that's the thing. They do really good stuff like Archer. I think Archer is really good and really clever. It also is so fucking lowest common. Like, the drunkest hillbilly would love Archer. But I also think it's really clever. FX is Always Sunny in Philadelphia, which is the same thing. Like, inbred meth head sitting on the floor of his broken down trailer would love Always Sunny in Philadelphia, but it's also quite clever and intriguing.
I love how you very narrowly define what the lowest common denominator is.
I had to keep going with
drunk
that one.
Hillbillies, meth heads in their trailers.
The thing is, I have to put in enough details that I'm not actually suborning like a whole group. So if I get specific enough, I'm like, I wasn't talking about you. You're a drunk hillbilly, but you're not, you know. You're a meth head, but your trailer's fine.
When I say lowest common denominator, I'm not even talking about a group of people. I'm just talking about a kind of entertainment that appeals to the baser nature of all of us, really.
I don't think any of us need to mess with what lowest common denominator is. We know what that means.
We all
understand that. It's our all inner sweaty fat guy who's masturbating in front of everybody. We know.
But it doesn't apply to a specific...
I'm not implying Dylan McDermott was fat, by the way.
It doesn't apply to a specific group of people.
Yeah, those guys, remember?
It doesn't apply to people who are poor, for example, or people who have a chemical dependency. It doesn't really just apply to those people.
I'm sorry if I offended all your meth head friends. If you'd like to tell us who you think the lowest common denominator is.
It's got to be a particular class of people, possibly a race of people.
Also, I hope, I really hope, this is actually going to become one of the great dreams of my life, that somewhere out there, there was like a high school mathletes team, you know, like a mathematics competition team, who called themselves lowest common denominator.
That would be awesome.
I know.
Very clever and awesome. And
in fact, my on Thanksgiving, I'm going to see my 13-year-old niece. I need to talk to her about see how good she is at math and if she can make this happen for me. Uncle Tony has a dream, Bucho. You need to see it through. It's going to involve a lot of math on your part and some persuasion skills over the next few years. So let's get to work. Then I can die happy immediately afterwards. Let's call ourselves lowest common denominator. Okay, thank you.
Very clever.
Yes. earlier this week, I finally was confident enough with it that I put a very clever bit on Twitter that nobody gave two shits about.
Did they give one?
Not even. Generally speaking, if you give one shit, you can give it. That's just biology. I mean, yeah. I mean, in some cases, it can be hard to just give one, depending on your diet.
Well, I don't know why I think that's so funny, but obviously I do.
No, I had been putting this together for a while, and I finally. I had the joke. I didn't have the sentence, basically.
Okay.
Like, I knew what the bit was, but right. I couldn't form it. And what I believe I finally settled on was food scientists have to use avocado's number to determine guacamolarity.
That's pretty good.
And I hashtagged it, hashtag thanks, thank you, hashtag good night, hashtag tip your wait staff, and hashtag science.
That's pretty good.
I thought it was brilliant.
Yeah, if I was on Twitter, I would have
nobody
done...
Nobody looked twice.
Maybe I would have retweeted it even. Is that what you do, retweet?
That's the thing the kids are doing.
Okay.
Nobody even looked twice at it.
Wow. Well, you know, it's a timing thing. You know?
Yeah, which I realize now, yeah.
Yeah. It's.
But...
If you put it up at just the wrong time, it'll be right off a person's feed and they won't even see it.
Yeah.
You should be. That's very good.
I was pleased.
Good job.
By the way, speaking of food, I have lost a grand total of 17 pounds now.
Wow.
I'm at 375 pounds, which is the lowest I have weighed in I don't know how long. Possibly longer than you've known me. In fact, likely longer than you've known me.
That's been quite a long time, actually.
And honestly, with the muscle I've been putting on lately, that's even a better number than the
How gym. Long have I known you? I mean, I started...
Since, would have been 2001, I believe.
That's when you started...
Early 2001 was when you first interacted with me. When you remember dealing with me was probably closer to late 2001, early 2002, somewhere around there. Because you taught a class in my training class, but you don't remember me being in it.
How do you know I don't remember you being
because
in it?
Because we talked about it and you didn't remember it.
Oh. Okay.
But yeah, that's when I first knew you.
13 years.
Yep. And I don't think I weighed this little since then.
I like that. I like that we've known each other that long.
Yeah.
That's cool. That feels good.
Yeah, it's just about enough.
Shut up.
We can stop.
Shut up.
But yeah, so this is the least I've weighed in that time. It's all going to go to hell real soon.
Why? Oh, because... Because
Trisha's gone all next week.
Don't do it!
No, I am going to stick to my points. And... I'm going to try and get to the gym every day. I used to do it on my own every morning by myself. I should be able to do it again. But, man, do you get used to having somebody else that's that added bit of accountability.
Yeah, that's right.
I plan to. And this is the thing. And I keep talking to people about it. So, in some ways, that's an added impetus.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to have to tell everybody, no, I didn't
manage
it.
Right.
If I don't manage it.
So. And you're talking about it on the podcast.
Exactly. So. Exactly. So, hope. I mean, that's the plan. And should work okay.
What's your eating plan? The producer just said, tell them you're eating plants.
Yes. No, so I've advantaged my points, right?
Yeah.
But I want to game. I'm going to game the system as much as I can.
Oh, you're going to. Okay, sure.
So the simplest way that I think will work for things is, so most fruit, not all, but most fruits and vegetables are 0 points. They want you to eat more of those. So.
Yeah.
So the plan is 2 meals a day, just fruits and vegetables. 1 meal a day, just bacon.
Just bacon?
Just bacon.
And all your whole day's points you can, because you didn't use any points.
Exactly, which we calculated out is probably like 2-3 pounds of bacon.
No, you're not going to eat 2 or 3 pounds of bacon.
I totally fucking could. I totally could. No, I'm going to mix it up more than that. I'm probably going to grab my friends, go out for sushi a couple times, because sushi's remarkably low for...
Sure, why wouldn't it be?
Points. The rice, I thought, would be more of a deal.
Oh, well,
it is surprisingly few points.
Okay.
And so, yeah, I'm going to grab them, do that some, and, you know, there will be bacon involved. There will definitely be bacon involved, but we'll see how it goes.
That's the title of the episode. There will definitely be bacon involved. You've got it. That's got to be the title of the episode right there.
I can do that. The second place was, that's just biology.
So. Now, that's a good one, too, but I think it's the bacon. I think it's the bacon. There will definitely be bacon involved.
You don't think it cleans it up better to say that just there will be bacon? Like there will be blood, the movie?
Yeah. Yeah, I guess, but I don't know. Something about there will be bacon involved just sounds like...
Right.
Like it makes you want to know...
But you want to say definitely? We need the definitely in there?
Yes.
Definitely will be bacon involved. Yeah. All right. So you hear her... Okay, first of all... learn to talk. Second of all, I was going to say you heard it here first, but you already know the title, so it's not a thing. Like, you're unsurprised at this point.
It's
at best, absolute best case scenario, at this point in the show, you're like, oh, and that's the best scenario.
But
in most likely case, you've just fallen asleep by now.
There will definitely be bacon involved. It's just intriguing.
Okay.
And yet, humorous somehow.
We are barely having time left to do something with the hat, but before we get to that, I do want to say, I discovered a video this week that I love. I'm going to post, I've watched it probably a dozen times, I'm going to post it in the show notes. If you can't be arsed to go to the blog and look at the show notes, if you go to YouTube and type in Assassins Kittens Unity, you will find it. I'm going to show it to William afterward.
Okay.
It's awesome. So, yeah, the hat. Actually, I've already got it planned what videos I'm going to show you afterward, so you have to stick around. I'm about to sneeze, so get ready, people.
Craig says, you talk a lot about DC Comics, but what are your favorite Marvel franchises? Craig, that was Craig again who asked that. As I've probably said, I'm not a huge fan of any Marvel property at all. I go to the movies, and I've enjoyed them.
Yeah.
I can't say that there's a particular one that I like more than another, because I'm enjoying them because they're action movies and superhero movies, not because I'm a huge fan of any Marvel property. Although... I've enjoyed the Iron Man movies probably the most. It's not because I'm a particular fan of Iron Man. It's just, I just think they've been, well, the first one anyway, was better than some of the other ones. So I'm afraid I can't really speak to that. But
when I was
but you've
younger,
talked about Marvel, I think.
I thought Marvel was better. And as I get older, I'm a little shifted back. And what it's actually come down to is I found individual properties and individual labels are the best ones, so you can't really go.
No,
I'm partial to Vertigo titles.
Yeah,
but in my mind, Marvel. And this is going to sound so weird, but at the time, this is how I really felt, and I think it is understandable that I felt Marvel was more realistic.
Mm-hmm.
Something about DC felt very. Like, the superheroes and their powers and their situations felt very arbitrary and wooden in a way, whereas I think, honestly, it's probably just the seventh grade mind being really impressed that he can realize X-Men's kind of about racism. You know, I think that's sort of what it was.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I also really liked X-Men when I was younger. And now X-Men is one of my least favorite properties. I am sick to death of the X-Men.
Well, I have to admit, one of the things I like about DC is that so many of the properties are sort of mythic.
Yeah.
I like that about it. It doesn't bother me that it's so detached from...
Now that I'm older, it's not gritty. I think I do like that better, because that is something I tend to like. Yeah. When I was younger, I think I was very much the opposite. I found Marvel more relatable, personally.
Yeah.
Especially as a teenager. Marvel's a much more teenager-y...
Well, there's a lot of that in there, implement. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's... And, you know, and they get all the cool powers and shit, and, you know.
Which I didn't relate to at all, because I don't think I've ever experienced teenage angst, really, in my whole life.
I would believe that.
And also, I don't
literally
care.
No one else on the planet could tell me that, and I would believe them. But you, I believe.
But, yeah, I know exactly. But you liked, in answering the question, you liked the X-Men when you were younger.
Yes, I was way into the X-Men when I was younger.
Well, which X-Men did you like the most?
That's always tricky. I was a big Nightcrawler guy.
Oh, yeah.
And I say big, keep in mind, as a kid, I was surrounded by real comic fans. I read, I believe, one issue of Uncanny X-Men. I occasionally watched cartoons, and I talked with my friends about them. Sort of the extent of my actual comic. I didn't read a lot of comics until just several years ago, when I went to the library and discovered their graphic novel section, and discovered they had all of Sandman. And so I started with Sandman. Mm. So, you know... Fuck everything else.
So in a way,
comics
has never really been a big thing.
Until recently. Yeah, now they really are. I've read a ton of them since then. It tends to be trade paperbacks. It tends to be more grown-up focused ones. It tends to be more limited series.
Well,
like
and I would say, and maybe you would agree with this, that just looking at the comics industry as a whole and in general, even though I'm still a pretty big fan of the standard DC. Characters, the big three in particular, maybe Justice League in general too, I would still say that where the good stuff really is at is independent comics and alternative titles off of the mainstream, like Vertigo,
Image,
for example.
And Dark Horse put out a lot of stuff, and and then the side. But if for no other reason than that the spin-off branches have a vision, that's the whole reason they're spun off. Vertigo is a separate imprint because it wants something specific. So and that just makes more focus.
But there's a lot of great independent titles out there.
I was
a huge number of great if you're into comic books. So I mean, you know,
and honestly at this point webcomics.
Yeah.
Some amazing webcomics.
I mean, but DC and Marvel are good if you are fans of their classic properties, and Marvel is doing a pretty good job. We've discussed this before. One of the reasons they're making films out of things like Guardians of the Galaxy, which we both agree is very good, is because in Marvel's history, they have shared or even sold off most of the ownership of certain properties. So they can't just go make movies. They've got to negotiate this, that, and the other thing. So that's why they're making some of these more obscure titles.
Because they still have them.
Yes, and it's working out for them.
Yeah.
And it'd be great if DC was doing something similar.
This is the thing, people. Stop going to see Spider-Man movies. No, this is a real thing. Stop going to see them. Sony keeps making them because they have to make them every X number of years or they lose the license. And if we stop going and they're not profitable, Sony will stop making them. It'll revert back to Marvel, and Spider-Man will show up in the next Avengers movie, and that'll be awesome. And I say that for the rest of you, because everybody loves Spider-Man. I don't give a fuck. I like Spider-Man slightly less than I like Batman, so, you know, fuck him. But you all want... And the Spider-Man movies that are happening now are sucking, so stop going.
Yeah. And as far as DC's goes right now, I there's not very much they're doing right now that I like at all. So.
Well, and it's all still real theoretical.
Yeah.
They've got a bunch of stuff planned. We'll see what happens. Well, you'll see what happens. I don't know how much I'll go see. But back to my favorite X-Men. I think a lot of it was based on who I thought looked cool. So, Nightcrawler I liked. Mystique, I loved. And Mystique's power, I thought, was cool, too. Psylocke, because she was just freaking hot.
I don't even know who that is.
Archangel. Not Angel. I have and continue to think Angel is one of the stupidest superheroes ever. But Archangel was fucking awesome. And yeah, and I was always very proud, and I'm still proud of the fact that amongst the X-Men, I was not that interested in Wolverine. And everybody else was. And I'm like, Jesus Christ. Even at that age, I'm like, weird macho fantasy wish fulfillment thing here. Yeah. Moved along. Like, no.
Spider-Man was a strip in the newspaper. Yeah. So, you know, that's something that you could read fairly often. And my brother was very interested in Spider-Man, but for some reason, Marvel just didn't do it for me. I mean, I thought that they were too... the stories just didn't resonate, I guess, you know?
Yeah.
And the art was even too bright and... I don't know what to say about it. The thing that everyone else thought was great about it always being moving and action and everything,
yeah.
I thought was just not.
There's
to it. It assaulted my senses. I wanted to see.
I mean, nowadays the lines blur more, but back in the day, there was a certain energy and a certain intensity and a certain, I don't even want to use gritty, but a certain intimacy almost built into Marvel that you could use all those words and say, that's why Marvel's cooler than DC. Or you could say, there's a certain immaturity built into Marvel and a certain sophistication built into DC, and that's why DC's better. Like, and I think we're talking about the exact same
thing. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Depending on which side of the fence you're on, you can call it either
way. Like, you know, sometimes I look at modern DC books, like some Batman books that I have, and they're doing what I didn't like Marvel. Like,
it's all blurred, and it's really all blurred because people are just
no. That's right. But one of the things I never liked that Marvel did was, it's like you're going through the book, and every single panel is the character is in this action pose, sometimes completely ridiculous. Like, this doesn't make any sense. Nobody, I can't, like. I go from this panel, where they're in one action pose, to the other panel, where they're in a different action, and I can't even imagine how they went physically from that pose to this pose. You know what I'm trying to say?
You know the reason for that.
Well, I thought it was exciting, and the readers would like it.
No, because Marvel comics were made using the Marvel method for a long time. The Marvel method was a real thing, which, among other aspects, involved the art being done before the writing. There would be some storyboarding, but basically the artist would make things and then they would come in and write dialogue to go with it.
Well, see, sometimes I could swear that's what DC's been doing recently. Well, when I say recently, I mean the last decade or so.
Yeah.
Because you're looking through the book, and that's one thing you see is this frame has an action thing in it and this frame has an action thing in it, and you can't logically or psychologically connect the two. And there might be two characters in it having a conversation that they couldn't possibly be having if they were really jumping around and swinging through the city or fighting people. And you just want to think, you just think to yourself, just have them in a room or something. It's okay. You don't have to have every single frame full of people bouncing off walls.
Experiencing a lot of comics and stuff, this is the sad part to it. 90 to 95% of comics are absolute shit.
Well, yeah.
And so it's real hard to pick out those ones, which is why I like limited runs, because I'm not investing a lot.
Oh, that's another thing is, you know, you can't just get a book.
Like, no, it's like a soap opera. If you aren't keeping up with it, you'll be lost.
Well, no, not just that, but I was getting Batman for a long time, and for three months maybe, I could get one book after the next telling a story, and then the next book would be completely disjointed because the story I was just reading is continued in like two or three other books.
Yeah. Batman Knights.
Yeah, I either have to go buy or wait for the trade or
Robin
something.
Robin and Friends or whatever.
And that happens so often.
That happens a lot.
And I that's one of the reasons I quit, because I thought, you know what, forget it. I'll just I'll keep up on what the big events, quote unquote, are that they're releasing.
Yeah.
Wait till they're out on graphic novels or trades or whatever they're calling them these days, and I'll just buy that if I feel like it.
Yeah.
But that was very frustrating. And I mean, to me, that was just a scam. And I know a lot of comic buyers think it's fun or something to go and you buy 16 comics from the store or whatever, and that's great.
Some people, I have friends that still do that.
Not my thing. I'm not going to go get a pull list or anything like that. I want to subscribe to Batman. I want to read Batman stories. And if I also decided to subscribe to Wonder Woman or Superman, that's what I want. I'm reading along and then suddenly I don't know what's going on because I didn't go buy three other books that month. Yeah.
So thank you, Craig, for bringing up the fact that comics are terrible now.
I'm sorry, Craig. I didn't mean to.
For hurting us, and you're all making us sad. No, we love you. We always love you. Keep listening, or else we're really just vocal masturbation, which I think is the third masturbatory reference I've had in this podcast, so something's going on with me. If you'd like to make a masturbatory reference on the blog, go to themagicaltalkinghat.com and do that. If you'd like us to make another one, write the hat with it, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com.
Please don't do that.
That's
my greatest... No, I'm not going to even say that. I'm not going to say that because someone will...
Totally.
No.
Like us on Facebook. The Magical Talking Hat exists on Facebook. Like it there. And we'll talk to you in a week. I'll be a mess then because the producer will have been gone for like 6 days or something. So that's going to be terrible. All right. There will be bacon. And really, I feel like I could segue into I drink your milkshake really easily.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.